Hey, everybody. You know, Mark and I have over 20 years of experience as therapists and as addicts in long-term successful recovery. We know better than anyone what works and what doesn't to break out of porn and sex addiction, heal betrayal trauma, and reclaim your relationship.
And we've poured all of our personal and professional recovery and healing experience into a first-of-its-kind program for addicts, spouses, and couples. We call it Dare to Connect.
At least four times every week, we engage with you in real time, in the trenches, giving you the knowledge and the tools to take back your life and relationship.
Whatever else you've done on your journey for healing and recovery, you've never done anything like this.
You know, Mark and I, we've made all the mistakes, so you don't have to. Don't reinvent the wheel.
We all know tomorrow never comes. Look, don't wait one more day to change. Claim your free two-week trial today at daretoconnectnow.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Mark Castleman.
We know the pain and heartbreak of porn and sex addiction.
And we know the triumph of breaking completely free.
Every day, we help our clients find hope and healing.
Join us in the fight to take back your life, your marriage, and be stronger than ever.
This is the PBSC Squared Podcast.
Hey, everybody, Mark and Steve on the PBSE podcast. We have a unique little podcast today because Steve is in a in a horrible, terrible, just torturous environment.
Yes.
The Hawaiian Islands.
Yeah, I'm roughing it.
He's roughing it today. But we have because of where he's at, we have actually a really cool analogy that applies to addiction and betrayal trauma and the recovery and healing processes. And so we're going to let Steve take the mic here for a minute and talk about this really awesome analogy based on where he's at right now.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. This is how Steve's brain tends to work. I am a big analogy guy. I use it a lot in my practice and with clients. And I am actually right now on the island of Hilo. In the Hawaiian Islands. And for those who don't know, it's one of the lesser known islands in the Hawaiian chain, especially for tourists. But one of the really cool features on Hilo is it's one of, if not the only, I can't remember which, it's one of, if not the only visibly active lava volcanic areas in the islands currently. And so, for example, like we were at Volcanoes National Park just yesterday. We're staying just outside it right now. We're going back today with a guide, which I'll talk about in a second. We're out here. And in the last 50 years, I guess, I think I read that I believe it's 500 or 550 acres of new Hawaii has been created in the last 50 years because the island is growing, right? It just keeps pouring into the ocean and expanding. So anyway, it's really kind of a fascinating experience. And for those who have never been to Volcanoes National Park, the whole area is kind of part of a bigger active volcano. And there are lots, I mean, everywhere you go, there are restrictions that keep you safe. In fact, there used to be 30 miles of road that went around the park on the one side that you used to be able to take. The road has been blocked off since at least 2008 when the last eruption happened, where it was deemed unsafe, and you can only travel 2 miles of that 30-mile stretch of road now. Because there was a major eruption back in 2007, 2008. And so guardrails everywhere, you know, but there are these areas as you go around the rim of the caldera, I guess you could say, right, the rim of the volcano, where there are, you know, again, heavy guardrails and things, but steam is just coming out of the ground. In many cases, there's not even an opening. It's just coming like out of the dirt, right? Mm. It's a highly active area and is extremely dangerous because for those who've never seen it before, you know, and the area that we're in is safe, although there are some other areas that are a little less unsafe and get increasingly treacherous as you get closer. And one of the main risks, the main dangers, right, is that the lava flows, the lava tubes are operating underneath the ground. And one, there's the risk of eruption. But the other part that is really that is scary and why they've blocked off so much of the park is that especially in the newer areas, there will be parts of the ground that actually look really stable, right? They look like old lava. It's, you know, it's dark. The crust is hardened. It's whatever. But sometimes, in some cases, even just a few inches below that surface, there's actually active lava flowing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just underneath the rock. And right now, although it hasn't been available, it hasn't been visible physically since March because it kind of oscillates in what you can see and what you can't. Right now, you can't see it. The steam and everything is telling you, right, that the lava is still right there underneath the surface and flowing and bubbling and right, continuing to grow the island and things. And so it's a really treacherous environment because, as all of you can probably imagine, falling into lava is a rather permanent predicament and comes with pretty permanent consequences. It's not the kind of thing you kind of come back from. So,
yeah.
So a couple of thoughts were coming to me at this park. One, there are these areas, again, that look very safe, but in many cases are not. I mean, as we were at this guardrail yesterday, the whole time I'm there, there was one half of me was like, this is stupid. Like, you're a million miles off from, you know, the really steamy parts and things. You're like, geez, this is like so lame. Like, I want to go out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the reality is there are probably 50 places between that me and the spot I want to go, where if I wasn't careful, I could literally fall through the crust into whatever's going on under the surface. Right.
Yep.
Like, this is not a national park that you want to like mess with. And so again, very scary, but a lot of the areas seem safer than they are. And without the proper guides and without the proper supports, you can really get in trouble here really, really quick. And I was just like, you know what? When it comes to addiction and trauma, there are some really cool parallels that we can draw here. So we just wanted to talk about that a little bit today.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. And I like that. You know, how do we walk out onto the thin crust in addiction and trauma prematurely or not knowing? Or,
oh my gosh,
kind of, I don't know, maybe even being a little arrogant in that we do know what we're doing or whatever it is, and that there's that thin crust that is covering all of that toxic, you know, superheated lava that's right underneath of it, and we're not aware.
Yes.
And we end up cracking through and plunging into all of this toxic stuff and addiction and trauma and our relationships. And it's all because we didn't have our feet on a solid path. We didn't have a guide to show us where those solid places are. We weren't aware or aware as we should be of all of the toxic, you know, lava going on underneath the surface and the symptoms of addiction and trauma, right? There's so many ways to compare this to what we go through.
I mean, let's take one example real quick, right? Just for sake of argument, we'll use ourselves as an example here. Me, the typical addict, right? Steve had his age-old phrase that he used to always use, right? I'm a therapist. I've got this. I can do this alone. Every time my wife would say, hey, we need help, right? Mm. Hey, we need to get a therapist. Hey, we need to find a program. Hey, we need to do something different. What would Steve say? Hey, I teach this stuff, lady. I teach this for a living, right? I don't need help, right? Yeah. And as a therapist, that gave me a unique excuse, but take out therapist and fill in that blank. All you addicts listening, I'm a blank or I'm blank, fill in the blank, right? I've got this. How often do we metaphorically, we're standing on the edge of the barrier, right? At Volcanoes National Park, do we look at our spouse and they're like, dude, don't go beyond that barrier. And we look back and we're like, honey, I've hiked a million times before. It's fine. These guardrails are stupid. You know, these are for everyone else, right? I know what I'm doing here. Or it's way less dangerous than they say. They're just putting that stuff up for liability. No mm-hmm. one's going to really get hurt here,
mm-hmm.
right? How often do we do that as addicts?
Oh, right? Yeah. I mean, I can think of so many examples of how I did that in addiction, right? So things like... I'd have another relapse and acting out. And so I'd start to declare Mark's ultimatums. That's the last time I'm ever going to do that. Right. And pound my fist on the desk and shout that I'm going to be perfect and awesome and amazing now. And there I go running out on the thin crust again. You know, because that's the last time I'm going to break through that crust into the lava. I'm going to walk over here on this part of the crust and I won't break through into the lava again. Right. I would do that. Or I'm just going to, I don't need a guide or a program or solid pass. I'm going to do this, but just by sheer willpower, I'm going to grip my teeth and clench my fists and I'm going to do this. So I would do that. Another famous one. Well, I can walk on the solid path some of the time, and I can walk on the thin crust lava places other times. I can have a dual life. I can have my addiction and my outlets, but also have my religious life and my marriage life and my work life and my, you know, fatherhood life. I can do both. Mark can do both. Right. I'd have the dual life thing. Or I don't have to pay attention to that there's lava under that crust. I'm just going to focus on all the symptoms of my addiction, right? I'm just going to grip my teeth to not look at porn, or make sure that I never, ever, ever, ever drive to the strip club again or whatever. I don't need to look at all this, you know, peel back the layers crap. Nah, there might be lava under there, but whatever. Right. Those are some of Mark's examples.
Totally. Well, and the spouses, do we not do this? Do spouses not do that same thing? Right. Mm. I don't want anybody to know that my husband is out there in the lava field.
Mm.
Yes. I don't want to have to share with anyone that I myself am out there with him. And because of maybe a lack of boundaries or my own trauma, or for different reasons, I metaphorically find myself out there. Right. I don't want people to know or to judge me, or, you know, I don't want to. This is his problem. He got us out in this lava field. He needs to get us out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He walked us out here. That blankety blank. Right. Like, it's his job to get us out here. And I'm going to wait for him to do it.
Yeah. He needs to fix him, and everything will take care of itself.
Yes. I mean, there are just so many ways we can draw parallels here, right?
Or the other one on this one. I'm going to control him to make sure he never walks out in the thin crust. Hey, you a-hole, get back behind the guardrail here. And I'm going to follow him around, and I'm going to be policewoman and look at his phone and his computer and make sure that he never, ever, ever gets out of line. That's how I'm going to resolve this. Or you know what? I'm going to go out on the thin crust with him, and we're going to crack through, and we're going to swim in the lava together. Right. I'm going to be the most amazing sex partner and sex him up and make sure that he never needs to go to that ever again.
I mean,
think of all the analogies, and what does that say? And it's very understandable to go to that place in trauma. I am tired of being in pain. I'm tired of being blindsided. I'm tired of not being enough and being in comparison to all the things he's seeing and the ways he's acting out. I am going to take control of this. I'm going to make sure that I don't feel pain anymore. And so I'm going to do this my way. And that's totally understandable That's a trauma protection place. And so that happens as well. For those who, you know, the souls that have been unjustly and thrown into betrayal trauma of no cause of their own, right? Yes. They go into that place.
Well, and sometimes the spouse, again, they find themselves, they bought into what their spouse has said, right? I thought this was safe.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I thought that this was safe. He told me it was safe. I kept saying that, hey, I kept looking at the steam coming out of the ground, and he kept telling me it was something else.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Right. I was misled. I mean, there's so many. I mean, we have so much empathy for why both an addict or a partner can find themselves in this place.
Yeah.
But here's the main point of the message today. So my wife and I, we've hired a guide, an unofficial guide, to take us to parts of the park that are normally not accessible to the public. It's costing us a bunch of money. And extra time, and a bunch of other things, but it's supposed to be a cool experience because we're supposed to be able to go deeper into the park at least a little bit than the typical person can, because two things: they know where the right supports are, and two, we have a guide who's been there a million times before,
right?
Who is taking us right to these select areas that the average person may not be able to go. And I've again been thinking kind of in these analogy terms, and I've thought, you know, I remember, I'll be honest with you, I tend to be a little bit of a risk taker sometimes, as does my wife. And before, I'd seen pictures of Hilo before. Like, we looked into this, you know, we researched it before we came, and we signed up for this guide. But do you know what I remember telling my wife? It's going to be $300 total for both of us for someone to take us on a hike. Are you kidding me? We're going to spend, because that's what it's costing us, $300 for a hike. And I'm like, yeah. I'm going to pay someone to take me on a hike?
Yeah, like, we could just do this ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me tell you, we were at Volcanoes National Park all day yesterday. And it's one thing to see it on YouTube and be like, oh, that's no big deal. That's like Yellowstone. Like, I've been there before. And it's another thing to get here with your camera and you're standing in front of these vents. And even though that steam is coming from 30 feet down below, it's 65 degrees up here on the mountain. It's fairly cool here at this part of Hawaii. And it's like 90 degrees when you're standing in the steam. You get a whole different idea of what's going on underneath the surface. And you're like, $300 actually sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah, to get a guide. Yeah.
This is sort of terrifying. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, you know what? Again, how good of an analogy is that? Because I remember as a therapist, when my wife said, hey, we need to go to therapy. Again, what was my response? Are you kidding me? We're going to go pay someone to do what I do already? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. I don't need to do that. But the reality was, is that Steve could help other people get better. And he was. I was helping other people get better. And they were getting better. But who did the Steve program not work for? Steve. Because Steve was trying to apply Steve addict logic and make exceptions for himself and all sorts of things in the Steve program that he wasn't with the people he was working with. He couldn't see it at the time, but he was not able to take himself on the journey, and definitely not his wife, right?
Yep.
And so what did I have to do? We got to a point where my wife and I, we got out there so far in the field that we found ourselves literally surrounded by steam vents and lava actually flowing on the surface. And my wife said, we have two options here. I'm either calling a helicopter and I'm bailing on you, or we get a guide.
Right.
Right. Like, then that's what she metaphorically said. Like, it's one or the other. You got to choose, but I am not going any further into this with you. This is way beyond what we are capable to handle. And that to me is a cool analogy in my brain, right? It's like we're clear out there in the caldera and she's looking at me and she's like, yeah, I'm either airlifting out of here or we're going to call in a professional, but I am not taking one more step with you into this nonsense.
Yeah. She finally put her foot down and said, we're not doing it your way anymore.
We are way out on a limb here. Right. Mm-hmm. We did. We got into therapy. We found hope and healing. Mark followed a similar pattern with getting support in place. And then what did we do? We came, Mark and I decided that we wanted to help guys and spouses not get stuck out in the lava field like we did and like we've seen so many.
Yeah.
And so here we are on this podcast trying to do that with you. And here we are having created a program, a support system that's unique, unlike anything else. You know, we run our own therapy clinics, but our Dare to Connect program, which has been up and running now for a little over a couple of years, is thriving and growing and is unlike anything you've ever done. If you find yourself stuck out in the lava field, or if you and your spouse are looking over that, please do not buy into the notion that those guardrails are not meant for you. Please do not look at the signs that say, this could like cause real long-term harm and say, well, it'll be different for us. Do not take the path that Mark and I and so many other people have done. There are help systems, guides, and supports out there that were not available even when Mark and I went through this. Dare to Connect is a program, for example. It's one of a kind. It's a living, breathing program with curriculum and material designed for the people who are in it in real time. We tailor the curriculum week to week based on who is there, the questions that people have, the needs of the people involved in it, just like we do with our, whether it's Dare to Connect, which we would love to have you come try. We have a 2-week trial there at daretoconnectnow.com. You can sign up for that. Or whether it's finding a therapist, getting into a 12-step support system, a combination of all the above, which we would heavily recommend. Although we will hands down tell you that the Dare to Connect piece is the most cost-effective bang for your buck option. Please get additional supports online. Please don't try to navigate this alone.
Yeah, because it's so easy. Like you said, you're looking at the out at the lava field, saying, "I can go navigate that hike for us. Why do we not need this guide, dude?
These barriers aren't for me.
No, these aren't for me." And I think of ways that I messed up on that, and that I see people who have done a lot of stuff before they come to us to D2C or in therapy. You know, things like, what do we hear all the time? We did our own disclosure.
Oh my gosh.
So
I just had one of those last week.
Premature disclosure happens, and it's just a giant mess when that takes place. Or we tried to tackle critical conversations without the right skill sets or the right principles. And we should have never tried to, talk about that stuff that was so toxic and, so difficult.
Honey, I have no shame resolution skills and no capacity to handle your pain. But I want to sit down for 3 hours and I want you to just give it to me raw.
Unload on me, even though I have no ability to deal with it or to handle it. Yeah.
The path of good intentions, right? That we have all taken so many times.
Me, I always focused on the symptoms of addiction, right? All the various ways I was acting out, but I wasn't willing to peel back the layers to look at the lava that was under that crust of addiction. Right. So symptom treating constantly, white knuckling it, using sheer willpower, doing it my way. I've got this. Just all of the ways that we really go out on those lava fields of addiction recovery and betrayal trauma healing. We don't belong out there. We really need people who can guide us. People can get us on a sure, solid path. And I violated that for decades. Till I was like, I am sick and tired. I just went down into the lava again. And now I'm, quote, emotionally, spiritually, mentally fried from having taken another dip in the lava. I think I'm finally ready to do this a different way. Right. I started to recognize my what were my true skill levels or the lack thereof. Right. What can my relationship with myself and with my spouse realistically tolerate right now? What little baby steps can we take, and what is too far, right? Mm-hmm. What is territory we have no business being here right now, right? Just all of being able to get into the place where that is healthy, and there's a perspective and there's a timing to it, right? Starting out slow and building up, building skills over time, getting consistent. So much of that.
Absolutely.
So I love that analogy that you're using from Gila, where you're at right now. It so applies to what we see.
Guys, we really do love and care about you. We know that you're all engaged in a really epic struggle. And as we wrap up here, we do have an assignment for you. And that would be to sit down and begin having with yourself first, but then with your spouse as you're able to. Start taking a realistic stock of where are we at, right? What can we tolerate? Again, that's where oftentimes where the healthy changes really begin to accentuate. My wife and I, we made little steps of progress until that day where metaphorically she said, I'm not taking one more step out here with you. It's too dangerous. It's too unsafe. And literally, I have been burned too many times, right? This is not, we are not prepared. We are not equipped to navigate this by ourselves. Right. And figuring out where those limits, where that realistically is for you. Ask yourself, are you finding success where you're at? Do you need additional support from what you have? Right. Everyone's at a different place. And whether it's, Dare to Connect is a program designed to meet you anywhere you need with that. But there are many other resources. Again, therapy, support, 12-step support groups, which we push heavily with clients. The fact that you're listening to this podcast right now is an element. Right. But it's all about being realistic with yourself of what that looks like. And so that's the assignment, is to do some real, take that journaling skill set we talk about all the time and just have a conversation with yourself. And then as it's appropriate and safe, open up that dialogue with your partner, get real with, are we properly equipped for what we're doing, right? Do we have the right gear in place? Do we have the right guides in place? Do we have the support system in place to navigate this? Or are we setting ourselves up for more hurt, more relapses, more trauma, more of the same?
I love it. Well, thanks for being with us here, everybody. Thanks, Steve, for joining us from such an exotic location.
Always. You guys are worth it.
And we hope you guys have a great, great rest of your day. And we will pick things back up in our next episode.
Take care, everybody.
Everything expressed on the PBSC podcast are the opinions of the hosts and the participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of an individual qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.